Stevie Weeby here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of the show. You're about to listen to the Year of the Ox episode, which consists of JL and Lyrics. They were highly recommended by several people just on my Instagram. It was bound to happen. My favorite part of the episode was when we talked about just like Korean issues, you know, like the Korean music scene, the Koreatown scene, and our favorite like Asian artists growing up. And it was one of my favorite episodes. It was one of the only episodes where there's more than one person, like as far as guests are concerned. So thanks for tuning in, and I'll catch you later. Peace.
Welcome back to another episode of the Stevie Weeby Show. This episode is sponsored by Postmates.
Have a very special guest in the house tonight. Please welcome, for the first time, JL and Lyrics from the group Year of the Ox.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow, that was amazing. That was fire.
All right, a lot has happened.
Young.
Wow. Shout out. Let's big up Parasite. For winning, how many did we win?
Off top, international.
Yeah, international.
Best picture,
director. Yeah, and then
what's that fool's name?
Bong Joon-ho.
So shout out to our man Bong Joon-ho.
Respect to Mr. Bong Joon-ho. You know what I did? As soon as they won, I went back home. Everyone went to the bar to celebrate.
Oh, he did too.
I heard he like partied till 5 in the morning or something like that.
He deserves it.
I took clips from YouTube and I made a beat just using Parasite sounds. You know what I mean?
Dope. Hey, how can people hear that?
It might be one of our ciphers.
Hell yeah, dude.
Hey, man. It's good to be here.
No, it's an honor.
Any of the Asians doing music, I have to get on. I need to get them on here.
Yep.
And then we mentioned, are you from the East Coast as well?
I am. We're both from Virginia.
Oh, that's what's up, huh?
I'm from Virginia.
A couple of Virginia boys, yep.
Yeah. What's it like being Korean, dude?
Why did your accent change right there?
Because I'm trying to put myself as like a white older dude. Right. Hey, what are you guys doing around these parts?
Northern Virginia, Fairfax. Yeah. Like, we have the second biggest Korean community in America.
I don't know about second.
I think it's second or third.
I think it's LA, New York, Chicago, and then Nova.
Were you guys by Virginia Tech?
No. It's a little out there.
No,
we can say that.
Okay. Because I remember, I don't know much because I've never been there, but I remember when, what was that dude, that one, the dude that shot up the school?
Yeah,
that was a trip.
That was crazy.
Yeah, we were Korean from Virginia.
We're all Korean.
I know, but like, yeah.
What do you mean we were Korean?
I mean, like, at that time, being Korean from Virginia.
We got shunned a little bit because of that situation.
I was going to ask about that. For sure. So once that happened, it was a little uncomfortable.
Of course.
It's going to be like that, though. Like, I feel like Chinese people are going through it a little right now, too, with the...
All of us.
With the virus.
All of us, with the coronavirus.
So, like, how did you guys navigate through all that, like, getting into music and, like... Do you guys grow up together?
Nah. We met through a mutual friend named Manifest, Peter.
We used to
be in a group called The Beautiful Cycle.
Oh, that's what's up.
The hardest rap group.
Right. How many cats in it? How many?
Three.
All Korean dudes? All
Korean?
Yeah.
He was in it as well. It was in like church circuits and like youth centers. You know what I mean? Changing lives, man. Yeah.
This is good that you guys, because I can't really like vibe with people like, because there's not a lot of Asians. Firstly, that do underground music, and then even rapping on top of that. Like, did you guys get into the culture?
Well, I got in it really late. I'm from Virginia Beach, which is 3 hours south of where he's from, and then I ended up going to college around his area, and that's how we kind of met and linked up. I actually never, I didn't write my first verse till I was like 18.
Yeah.
Freshman.
And then what did you, what gravitated you towards it? Like, what were you listening to?
So his parents own, you know, laundromats, you guys were talking about. My parents own clothing stores.
Me too, dude. Hell yeah. Me too. Fashion Girl?
Yeah. Oh, well, no, it's called a Manhattan.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, similar.
Virginia Beach. So your store called Manhattan.
What is it about Koreans that is either a laundromat? Yeah. What's up with that, man? I always ask my mom.
I mean, it's just one of the things. Liquor stores, laundromats.
Liquor store, deli, laundromat, you know? Those are was a trifecta when we moved out here.
So my parents had a hip hop clothing store, so that's where I, you know, learned the music.
That's cool.
Yeah.
It was cool.
So was it wholesale? Like, how did they get their
inventory? It was retail, but it was we got it through wholesale, like up there in Jersey. There's a bunch of like Korean brands and stuff.
And what groups, like, what were you guys like? Were you guys listening to?
Him and I, we have totally different tastes. We have a similar, like, you know, it's like a Venn diagram. We have like a little sliver of what we like together, but then he just likes completely different.
Influence-wise, like, I definitely, as far as my music, I like to say like Bone Thugs and Wu-Tang are huge influences.
There you go. That's not bad. Well,
No, I like that.
You can't go wrong with them at all.
No, for sure.
You already know. And then, of course, Jay-Z, Eminem, all the big ones, but... you know, we met because when I went up there, I met a guy, and the guy you were talking about in Beautiful Psycho, his name is Manifest. Mm-hmm. He introduced us, and then, you know, they kind of took me under their wing and kind of, taught me the ropes a little bit.
I went to middle school with Zoe, middle school, high school. Yeah, so like long time before he started DJing, you know? Yeah. And where I was growing up, it was predominantly white. You know, it was like a suburban. Yeah.
I was on the wrestling team.
If you say McLean or Great Falls in Virginia, they're like, oh, okay.
So you were kind of like those.
But I was on the crux. I lived in this place called Falls Church, which was like right on the line of like that area.
Yeah.
So people thought that, you know, it was like Silver Spoon. But no, it was, you know, my parents had the cleaners in Washington, D.C. So we were crossing the bridge all the time to go to D.C.
Yeah.
And another place in Arlington, which is like a little bit outside of Washington, D.C., right? Northern Virginia.
Yeah.
So this guy named Lawrence, they put me onto hip hop, you know? When he played like Mixed Master Mike or like old D-style stuff, like weird, dark.
I was a fan of that,
just
dude.
Ominous. Dr. Octagon When I heard that.
I actually reached out to Cool Keith.
Did you?
Yeah.
I went on tour with him.
Oh,
I went on tour with him.
Is he cool?
Yo, he's...
He shot a video for him.
I shot two videos for Cool Keith. Yeah.
Was it during Sex Style?
Like, it was around that.
Yeah. You should see the video.
It was called Fleetwood and Flip Flops. That's one of his.
Is he really like? Is he pimping girl? Like he's got weird.
He is the
weirdo,
man. He is the man.
Yeah.
We were
ultramagnetic. I mean, come on, man.
Of course, history. Yeah. I was driving to a show. We were like an hour and a half late. Right. He speaks very, very softly. You know. He's like Rick. Pull over. I'm like, what do you mean? I'm like, yo, we're like late. We got to go. He's like, nah, I got to take a piss and buy some pornos. I was like, what?
So he's really that dude.
Nah, he's really that dude.
Yeah. Can we give a shout out to Cool Keith?
What's up, bro?
We're all fans of Cool Keith.
Yo, that's the man.
Yeah, he's the man. His music, you know what? He's prolific, dude.
He's the fucking...
How many albums he dropped?
How many characters did he have? You know what I'm saying? How many different aliases?
Yeah.
He's a crazy shit.
Yeah.
And the thing is, He was Kanye before Kanye, meaning like he did the rants.
When
he had the velvet, he had the, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
with the sequins. Yeah. He put the sequins on, and then once he put that on, he just became a whole different person, man.
Yeah.
I remember him saying something. He was like in Georgia or something. He's like, I'm going to baptize you in chocolate milk the next time I come here, Cool Keith. I was like, what?
Yeah, he's weird.
And it made sense at that time, though. Yeah, you know, people gravitated.
How
old
is he now?
He looks 26. It doesn't matter,
dude.
That guy doesn't.
Yeah,
he moisturizes.
Him, yeah.
I don't know what he does.
Ageless. Like,
he's ageless.
He's
a vampire.
I don't think he could do wrong in any way.
He looks like the vampire from Oblivion.
Oh yeah, he just keeps going
and going.
Going,
dude.
Yeah. One, I just want to bring up one group. I just thought of this from Virginia because I thought you were from. For some reason, I don't know why I said Philly at the beginning before we started taping, but the Boogie Monsters.
The Boogie Monsters.
Hold on. Yeah.
I don't know the Boogie Monsters.
They're
from Virginia?
Yeah, they're from Virginia. Okay, so there are four black dudes. They're like the far side of the East Coast.
Really?
Yeah.
From Virginia?
Yeah, from Virginia,
wow,
dude.
I didn't even know that.
Look that up.
Dude.
Yeah.
Boogie Monsters.
That's
Boogie
Monsters.
Like a Virginia ass.
That's a fire
this
group
is like
name. 90,
this is like 94, 95.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I was I went to Arizona State, and my homie Jamil, this cat I used to skate, he was my good homie.
Yeah.
But he was putting me onto all kinds of more East Coast groups and like Black Moon and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so I was like, he's like, hey, you heard the Boogie Monster. He like knocked on my dorm room.
That's
like,
hard.
What the fuck?
Oh, and the Company Flow and all that stuff too. I didn't know any of it. And
dude, was, Company
and,
Flow.
And then he handed me the CD, and then I'm like, oh, okay.
Are they tight? Were they?
Yeah, I mean, even the their first album, the it's like a timeless like classic album cover. It had like different, like kind of like a rainbow, like weird psychedelic.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it was kind of like there was groups in the 90s like the Dream Warriors.
I'm guessing they're from like Richmond or.
Yeah, they were.
Were they from Richmond? Yeah. Sounds like some Richmond.
But dude, they were tight. There was a cat named Vex. Yeah,
we need to look them up.
Vex, yeah.
I mean, Richmond hip hop scene is definitely a lot more flourished than the Nova.
Yeah,
is like the suburban, it's a diplomat place, you know, because it's so close to the government. So a lot of Koreans and their families come.
The academics
is really good there. You know? So they bring them over there, and it's just like a little bubble, to be honest with you. You know what I'm saying?
I hear that joint. You know? Did you guys both work at your folks' store?
Of course.
Come on,
you had to, right?
Since I was like at least 14,
you guys deal
13.
With shoplifting?
Yeah,
I had to deal with racism, shoplifting.
Let's hear
you
some
know,
stories, just, man. Because me too. Me and my mom's visiting. You know,
my mom had a Maxima, one of those old 86, 87, course, right? Yeah. So I was in the car. I don't know why, but I liked staying in the heat. I liked staying in the heat, like just sweating, closing all the doors and just like leaking, right? I don't know. I was a weird ass kid. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a sauna when I was a kid. Yeah. Because my mom's shop, she worked at a Heist. A Heist is like a 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
Before 7-Eleven. It's like a convenience
store. Oh, they're like
store.
Circle K's in Arizona.
Do you know, have you seen a Heist before?
I don't know.
All right. Yeah.
So it's a convenience store.
Yeah. And some guy came gunpoint on my mom, and I was in the car. I was just like doing a weird ass motherfucker, huh?
To her head?
Yeah. Just like this, run it, right? And I didn't see, but I was just watching. And I ran. I tried to open the door, but it was child locked, so I couldn't. Right? So
how old were you?
I was, I don't know, like super young, like 4 or 5. Like I was. Oh, it's one of those things I can never forget.
How did that resolve? Like,
He just left. He left. Like, my mom was shattered. You know what I mean? Yeah, but definitely, that was when that happened. I promised myself, like, I'll never ever be like inaccessible ever again. You know what I mean? I don't know what I would have done, but the fact that I just saw it like through the windshield, through another glass, it was like
crazy.
That was traumatizing.
That's like
for
a horror
me.
Movie.
That was it changed my life actually.
Do you think that? Oh, it's already 10. So now it's a word from our sponsor, Postmates.
Let's go.
Now, a word from our sponsor for this episode, Postmates. When you need your second coffee at 2 p.m., a breakfast sandwich at 9 a.m., and a bag of chips and some condoms at noon, Postmate it. Postmates is your personal food delivery, grocery delivery, whatever kind of delivery service all year round. Anything you're craving, Postmates can deliver. They're the largest on-demand network in the U.S. and offer delivery from all the restaurants, grocery, and convenience stores like 7-Eleven, and traditional retailers you could possibly want or need. 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, Postmates will deliver anything to you. Download the app or iOS or Android for free. Browse local restaurants and businesses. Track your delivery in real time. Okay, so this is what's popping. For a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit. For your first 7 days to start your free deliveries, download the app and use code STEBEE, STEEBEE. That's code STEBEE, STEEBEE, for $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app. Anything you need, anytime, anywhere you need it, Postmate it. Download the Postmates app and save with the code STEBEE, STEEBEE. Peace. And we're back. So, like, you got any other? I love stories like this.
Well, like, I don't have any that where my parents got held up, but
yeah.
So my dad, before he opened clothing stores, him and his brother were like Taekwondo masters.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like, I remember being at the store young, and then like people would try to steal, or they would steal and they would run, and then my dad would like chase after them, and then he'd come back.
Yeah,
he'd be like, I got it.
they'd grab the.
Tight.
And then like the customers would know, like, yo, don't fucking steal from his store, bro. That fool will chase you.
I like
and,
that
like,
story.
You know what I realized? Because my parents, my dad, well, rest in peace to my pops, but when they had a store in Arizona, when I realized racism was real, like, you know, like when I actually heard it, this little, you know, because little kids are unfiltered.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, so yeah. This little white girl was like walking in the store. She goes, "Mom, this is China. Is this the Chinatown store?" Oh, and then, you know, because that was you know, they probably had to talk in the car.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
right,
okay,
right, right.
That's how other races, exactly. You know what I'm saying, look for at sure. My mom and pop store.
Right. Yeah, yeah. I think that too. I think when I see the kids, I think like what the conversation at their dinner table is like. You know what I mean? How yeah, they're influenced.
I don't
by
like
that.
Thinking about it. It I don't like
I remember about it seeing the kids looking at me and like realizing that they'd never seen someone that looked like me before, and that's why they're just they're just kind of staring. They're like, oh,
the alien.
Oh, it's like
yeah,
that.
That's what I cut. Because I'm from Virginia Beach, where it's not that many Asians. There's a lot of Filipinos, but it's mostly like military towns. So it's like black and white. Yeah.
I was just telling my mom this. If like, cause like. If she had a store now, it's different because it's a tricky thing trying to, I don't know the laws, like I don't know the details of the laws, but you can't apprehend them.
Right,
you know what
right,
I'm saying?
Right,
like once
right,
they
right,
have
right.
like the inventory,
you kind of have to let them
bounce.
Yeah.
But now if my mom, because there's one time this little, she was a Hispanic girl, but she high school, maybe a freshman. And you could tell she had
some shit.
She went in, you know, like the dressing room, and then she put because my parents didn't have security systems.
They just
had the clothing on the rack, but you could tell she
five finger discount.
She put it underneath her clothes, and my mom like tried to grab her. Mm. But we were talking about this on the plane, and I'm like, if you were to do that now,
it'd be problematic
because the phones and everything.
Do you see those videos?
No,
there's those videos.
Oh, there's videos
around.
Like that.
Oh man,
it's always like an Asian.
Yeah, I'm conflicted because I kind of understand it, but also it's just kind of like, come on, I just
you gotta let him go.
You know what I mean? This guy's doing like roundhouse kicks at the girls. Like he's doing like cardio on these girls. Like I'm like, yo, chill.
Well, the thing with Koreans going back to Parasite and just the Korean mentality is there's a lot of honor and pride.
100%.
You know what I mean?
And not only that, they work so hard for it. You know. They work so hard for it, and it's, you know, it's like a volcano effect. It's not like it was the first day this happened.
Yeah,
you know?
This
is years and years of tolerance and endurance, and then after,
like the riots too. Like I'm sure Dumb's got stories.
No, for sure.
The riots in what was it? 94?
92.
Yes, 92, and they got AK-47s.
Come on,
dude.
On top of Kajumar, you know what I'm saying? you know, that's how you know it's serious. I actually have a friend. This is kind of like off the top, but I have this guy named Mark. He's a white dude from Staten Island.
Okay.
Who claims that he fought for our side.
Is it one of the dudes from Wu-Tang?
Mark
Sequist.
Wu-Tang is
from
Staten Island. Okay. He's not from the Wu. He fought in the, he protected our businesses during the from the K-Town riots.
Yeah.
Wasn't
not
he
security.
Like in Vegas or something? He drove over here. He's just
you know, he likes shooting, you know?
Yeah.
He's got a
And he has a whole other story. Like, this is like one of my biggest supporters and fans.
Yeah.
Mark Sequist, shout out. That's my brother, you know?
Okay.
And so any Asian American rapper knows Mark Sequist. You know what I mean?
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Like he's that prolific guy now.
He's known.
He's known.
He's like Dante Ross was
like
Busta Rhymes.
He's exactly.
And
he's like Sophia Chang
He has this Daewoo that has a ceiling that's signed by
almost all Asian American.
I wouldn't be surprised if like Bobby signed it one day
somehow. He has over 600, 700 signatures on his Daewoo Laganza.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Daewoo.
Is Daewoo even still around?
I mean, they make guns. You know? There's a whole military.
Oh, they went into guns. Since y'all are here, there's a couple things, events that happened in the 90s, and I was self-conscious of like, man, that's the way they... I love Ice Cube.
Okay.
I love N.W.A.
Oh,
but that one song,
yeah.
Black Korea.
Dude, I was watching Anaconda. I was watching Anaconda with my dad. My dad's like, turn this off. I was like, why? He don't Korea. We had a ramyun too.
So you heard the song?
Ramyun. Oh, dude, I did. I
that
did
was on Death
song.
Certificate, right?
Yeah,
it was
come
like the last
on.
Song.
That was...
But I got so much shit to do that. Like, hey, man.
What did you feel
you
about it?
You bumped that Black Korea dog? Like, that's not me, dude.
It's not me, dog.
Because it's like so stereotypical.
I didn't know my dad even knew who Ice Cube was, right?
I love Ice Cube, though.
No,
his
for
music's
sure.
His music great.
He's
one of the best.
His career. Let's talk about it.
He's a god.
Ice Cube is
But just
there.
That one song, because I was like on his side.
I bring
like,
up Ice Cube now
that?
To my dad. You'd probably still be mad.
He knows that song.
Yeah.
Well, it was like the last song, like track 13. I remember. I was like, man, that's that track, man. You remember that song?
I don't know. I'm.
You should tell people what he said, though.
Oh, he said, you know, stop following me. It was like Menace to Society. It was bad.
It was like a Menace to Society through lyric, right? Yeah. And they're like, kill Koreans or something like that.
Yeah, stop following me around the store.
Yeah, it was pretty,
The customer's point of view. We have the store owner.
I look at it as a POV song, you know?
Yeah. And then let's go to like that scene in Menace to Society.
Come on.
The beginning scene. Yeah. Right.
The fucking.
Describe it to the viewers and listeners.
Well, first of all, Hollywood, they never get the Korean accent right. Yeah. Why did they ever? Why is it always like, like,
why can't they ever speak Korean?
Why doesn't it sound Korean? So already there, because it broke the realism, I didn't really feel offended. You know, I was like, oh, they weren't like real Koreans. You know, they're like fake Koreans. But if they sounded like my mom, they're like, 제발 지금 빨리. I'll be like, oh my God. They shot that woman.
So describe the scene. It's a liquor store in South Central.
Oh, yeah. Liquor store. Two friends go in. They grab two 40s.
There's Korean owner, woman. Describe the scene.
And due to the context of the climate of the spot, you know, like there's a lot of theft. So naturally, defensively, the wife, the owner of the store is going to follow the clients around.
She's
you know,
she has the duster. Remember, she had the duster?
She could have been Dustin.
The bristles isn't even touching.
She could have been Dustin.
She was definitely lurking, just a stroller, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, they're eyeing her out. They're like, whatever. They go to pay. And then while they're walking out, the male clerk is like, I feel sorry for your mother.
And his homie's already drinking the St. Ides.
First of all, that drink, that guk-guk, I still remember that, he killed that drink.
40, bro.
But fucking, he's like, what you say? Turned around. I didn't think he was going to even kill him.
He goes, get out.
Already there?
He already knew he fucked up.
That didn't sound Korean to me, dude. I don't know why. So I was like, all right, man, whatever. But he gets shot. Not only does he get shot, he like kicks him, right? And then takes
Remember he couldn't find the money.
He couldn't find the money, so he kicks him. I remember he kicked the dead eye just shit, dude.
Oh no, he checks his corpse.
He did a little sweep kick. I remember a sweep kick going on.
Oh, I forgot about the kick.
And then he does the pat down and then takes the money out the sock, you know?
Yeah.
Like
and he said jackpot. I remember.
Jackpot. His brain kind of like does a dangle in his brain.
But
I remember.
Then the wife is in
That's
the
worst
room.
Part.
She goes, ah! Yeah.
So that means they took
this
tape.
Movie yesterday. Yeah. I don't remember all those.
And things. The worst part about it,
no, I've seen
that.
No, I mean,
it's traumatic for me, man. Yeah, like, that movie still kind of. I love the movie, but just those scenes.
That
I'm
scene,
like,
yeah.
Oh,
I mean,
man.
That didn't help the
I mean,
help.
Guys,
Korean
I mean, also, let's talk about the fact that videotape becomes like a bargaining chip later.
Yeah.
And then you see the actual shooting on the TV.
Yeah.
And you see the little piece of scalp.
Oh, when his homies.
You see the little piece of scalp fly out of the Ajashi's head? That's when it hit me.
That hit me.
There was a little like piece of skull that just bang. I was like, damn, Ajashi.
Because you know, in reality, what about the story where the Koreans, the owners are cool with the community?
Yeah. My dad was
cool. I had OG Chino on here.
Right.
Saying there's a lot of those stories we don't see.
100%.
You know what I mean? They're embraced.
Bad. Yeah. OG Chino said that. He said that a lot of the Mexicans helped actually during the riots too. You know what I mean? Yeah. With the Koreans. Like it wasn't always just.
You don't see that.
Yeah it wasn't buys like that. You know, because it doesn't sell. It's not flavorful like that. You know what I mean? People don't want to know about love and support, bro. They want to see the mayhem, you know?
Yeah.
But that's what Mark said too. He was just like, there was a lot of beauty. Beautiful decay, kind of. You know what I mean? It was a lot of whack shit that was promoted on TV, but behind the scenes, like, you know, there was a lot of camaraderie as well.
You know, I haven't talked about this. You guys are probably the only ones.
And I'm not even from LA.
But you guys are Korean. That's why I'm like.
Wait, so
you
were you out here during?
No, I was San Diego. You were in San Diego. And then I was really into wrestling, you know.
Yeah, I heard that you.
I was good. I won San Diego.
I wrestled in middle school.
Oh, you did? What weight?
I was like 81 pounds and then maybe, I think I was 81 and then 90, 91.
Yeah, I was 65 and then,
I remember going to like a camp, NC State, like wrestling camp.
They have a good team, man. The Wolfpack.
They're good.
Oh, the Wolfpack.
Yeah, the Wolfpack.
So I still got a good sprawl.
They're red, white, and black. Yeah,
I can still put a good sprawl on them. I can get behind.
I'm telling you, man, the East Coast got the best programs.
Yeah.
Penn State. Iowa, dude, they got they're running.
So is it true that you were number one in your
state? I was ranked second in Cali. Wow. And then
wait, what do you mean California?
The whole state of California. No, I was ranked two. Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Wow.
And then I just remember every time I went to state, I like shut down.
Was it stage fright?
It's kind of like, I was going to bring that up. It's kind of like, you know, you're doing your first shows.
No, do you think it's like the gym size situation? Like if
this is arena size.
Wow.
State is like, it was at the time, it was at the University
of
Stockton.
No, that's what I'm saying. So like the size of the arena, do you think that?
Yeah. Man. It's similar to like, I guess, you know, where the national finals of college would hold their annual national championship.
So there's a reverb there that you're not used to, you know.
But check this out. I got to hit. I'm a link it to hip hop.
Let's do it.
So I remember I was eliminated, and I had to go through like the gymnasium, damn, you know, and then I was bummed, and people were bumping the first Cypress Hill album.
Hard.
But I just remember that resonating. I was depressed. I was crying. My brother drove 7 hours to watch me fail.
I heard about that story. And he was like, I drove all the way here to watch you fail.
Yeah,
did he say that to you?
Oh, yeah. He had back then he had a Toyota, like one of them lowered white Toyota truck.
Oh, pickup.
And he, at the time, you know, he had long hair.
Hold on, that's love though. He drove you 7 hours though?
No, he drove himself.
Oh,
I drove. You were on the bus.
I was on the bus.
Wow, Bobby.
He drove.
That's a young
one. Yeah. And but I remember going back to Cypress Hill. It was playing everywhere.
What year is this?
93.
Damn, 93.
Oh,
hell yeah.
And I was just like, I was depressed, but then the music kind of, I'm like, it always kind of stuck in the back of my head. Like,
yeah.
That's a really good album. Yeah, and then I had to go to, back then it wasn't streaming. Right, I had to go to where Sam Goody.
But that sucks that like good music gets linked to a bad number.
Yeah. I know. It was like how I could just kill a man or something. Yeah.
No, like I have insane like good songs too that I listen to like with my ex, you know what I mean? Like on prom nights.
Yeah.
So I
the
song.
Boyz II Men or something.
You know, refrain.
No, because I was heavy into R&B. You guys get into R&B?
Of course. I mean, because I listened to everything, you know, my high school upbringing. I had different, you know, I was like a Bjork guy, Coldplay.
And
then like Biggie.
I like Kid and Play too.
Kid and Play, on, bro.
Kid and Play, all that. Troop.
Yeah, Troop is good. Silverchair. You listen to Silverchair. Offspring.
Ralph Tresvant. Sensitivity. New Edition. All right, we're
Boogeyman.
Boogeyman.
I want to get more into the group dynamic here because what I like about this is you don't see a lot of Korean cats. I love it. I love it. I love it.
We didn't even mean to do that. Right.
Yeah. No, but that's the bond right there.
Right, this is the bond, dude.
I don't see a lot of groups. Because, you know, with me and, like, Korean heads, like, especially, you know, Asian heads doing hip-hop or rap, they correct me if I'm wrong, but they kind of, like, they're like they separate themselves or something. They're like, no, I want to be the only one.
Changing now.
That's it finally.
I'm going more by the 90s or like this is like pre-gin.
No, I'm still like that. We're still like that. You know what I mean?
What is that about? What is that about? That mentality of wanting to be the only one.
Maybe subconsciously or like not even subconsciously. Maybe they felt that there was only enough spots for certain few. Like
I didn't even think about that.
Which is not now. It's definitely not
true, dude.
But you know what I mean.
But, you know, maybe it's also to get, like, you know, deeper into it. Like, our peoples, we're like a safe face culture, right?
We like to not
show vulnerability.
Dude, I'm still finding secrets from my mom, I'm in my 40s. She's like, I just found out a bunch of stuff. I'm like, you didn't tell me. My dad gave you a bloody lip.
Blood
in your mouth.
Exactly.
But I blocked that. I don't remember that.
I still find, like, micro tapes right now. You know what I mean?
Yo,
I have a whole story. I found... This is funny, but I found microtapes in my parents.
Describe what a microtape is to
Okay, there was a cassette tape, and then there was a smaller tape than a cassette tape, and then there was microtapes that was strictly for espionage purposes, right? What else do you need is to, like, you know, sneak, you know, to, like, kind of, like, bug people. Wow. And, yeah, man, I'll get into another podcast. Point is, definitely, I think it's because... A lot of people don't want to be in groups because they want to just appear perfect, you know? They don't want to have to worry about the other team dynamics and anything like that.
They just
kind of want to be by themselves. Yeah. They're trying to, you know, test tube baby themselves, you know?
How did y'all link up as a unit and be like, let's do this as a group?
We were, well, like he said, we were a trio for a while. He was actually in a duo with this other guy, Manifest. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, certain things happened. He actually ended up getting married. He's actually living out here. He's producing more than he's rapping. But
yeah,
he moved to New York, and like I was in Virginia, just kind of, I had opened a store of my own.
What kind of store?
Like a clothing store, okay, like a hip hop clothing store.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, when he moved up there, I was like, yo, I'm gonna go visit. And I ended up staying a little while. And then like, we decided to keep making music together.
That's,
and
what's
then
up.
One of our songs went kind of viral on Facebook. It's called Seven Rings.
Can people still hear it?
You can still hear it. Yeah,
Seven Rings.
Yeah.
It's on Outsider, actually, on the that new HBO show.
Oh, that's dope. Yeah. So definitely watch that and check out the.
Living in Virginia, listen, Stevie. Virginia is so like. I was like, I'm a musician, I'm an artist.
Yeah, of course.
But there's
this
bubble, there's this race, this Korean race, right?
Yeah.
You gotta
get
a family, find a church, you know, you gotta
go to college, you get a family, things, and you get a
which
kid.
Is not, yo, I'm not, I used to like downplay that. No, it's cool. It's just not for, it wasn't for me, you know?
No, not me either.
So
it's
I,
like
had to,
cookie cutter.
Yeah. I had to. I had to escape from that, you know? And it was like, I was about to hit my 30s, and I was like, Rick, let's just go all in, you know? Instead of bitter or like, yo, I should have done this. I'm going to go to New York and I'm going to go all out. You know what I mean?
Because you network good out there, right? Like,
I mean, I made my name out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There were, of course, hard nights. There were like just a few months, like a couple weeks even, like where I didn't have a place to go. You know the story.
Yeah,
just like, you know, just trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
Were there open mics? Like, because out here there's like Project Load and whatever.
I mean, out there definitely... Especially, I mean, back then I used to battle, you know,
and made a name out there in Virginia
and did stuff like that as well. But now I just wanted to create content and
put my
name out there,
you know, like
with songs and stuff like that. And JL and I, we always meshed, man, you know, we had like that boom bap flavor. We always like lyric heavy, kind of like, you know.
Who are some of your top, like, who are some of your inspirations?
Mine?
Yeah, New York cats.
New York?
Yeah.
Strictly
New York.
I love Big L. I love Cameron. Yeah, you know, Nas.
Yeah.
Cool G Rap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even Lord Finesse, Diamond D. Like, I love all the, you know.
His
the
favorite
whole
rapper is Black
Thought. Black Thought's from Philly, but definitely.
I remember that tape, too.
That's my shit. Even LP, you know, like Def Jux days. Like, I used to listen to, like, weird shit, you know.
Yeah,
what I mean?
Me
just
too.
Weird shit.
They
like
were,
Stepfather Factory.
Yeah,
back
yeah,
in the day.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Just
even
weird.
The company flow of that Fun Crusher, my homie.
Remember Anticon?
You know, he actually went to a Monchi show, Dose.
Oh,
and my homie
Dose
Mestizo said, hey, he's coming to your show. I go, what? But he was really cool.
There was that one song in it was like slow and it starts like speeding up. Like, it's just like
weird,
right?
Weirdo.
I love
rap.
That left stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Especially maybe because I was coming from Virginia, such like a. Like a Hanguk, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, all right, man, let me be a little different, you know?
Yeah.
I wanted to break the anonymity a little bit.
Yeah. Did you grow up? So I mentioned the Mountain Brothers because I grew up. That was the first, because you guys are a group, right? That's the only last kind of.
Dude, I remember
Asian
hearing
group.
Mountain Brothers.
Shout out
I remember
to
wanting to quit that one time because I was a rapper
at
that time, too.
Yeah, yeah. This was 90 and then mid 90s.
Yeah,
like
yeah. Like, it was,
yeah.
No, but I heard them late, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah,
I heard
them
late, like early 2000s, 1999 ish.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was rapping. I thought I was a shit because there's only like four Korean rappers in Virginia.
Yeah.
And I already went to the four different levels. It's like Pokemon. Like, I went to these trainers and I beat them. Like, all right, I'm the shit. And then at church, this guy's like, yo, listen to this, man. And they
it
put
was
on
their CD.
Fucking, dude, it was cassette tape.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck? It was not Galaxies. It was another. I forget what it was called.
Paper Chase, baby?
Paper Chase.
That
was
a great song.
It was
was a great freaking song.
Yeah, man. Especially. Chops reminded me of like a Sadat sort of, you know, just kind of off.
Yeah,
Chops
is the dude with the glasses.
Yeah,
with the glasses.
Yeah,
that dude.
He was his stuff. It didn't always end on the four. You know what I
mean? Yeah,
yeah. He was like just.
Well,
kinda,
he didn't sound like an Asian cat.
Nah,
too.
Dude. He was like he sounded like kind of like
He's got he's a deep voice Asian.
For sure.
Yeah. I discovered them because they won a Sprite commercial. I was like,
that
they
was
won
the
some,
bad rap
yeah,
too.
They yeah, they won some kind of contest.
Right.
And then I went to the local Zia Records in Arizona. They only had one or two copies, and I'm like, I'm getting that.
Damn, yeah.
And I don't have it. My homies took it.
Right,
once you lend it out,
for
I couldn't
sure.
edit. But I remember.
Have you heard of a group out here called Jupiter Disciples?
Yeah,
Jupiter Disciples.
Dude, why does that resonate? Yeah,
because they were crazy
they were the
too. They were crazy.
Jupiter Disciples.
Yeah, yeah.
What happened to them?
I don't know.
Like perform with them?
I think like something like Jupiter Disciples.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
were like
dude,
off the cuff too.
Heard,
you know
I haven't
what I mean?
Heard that name.
Yeah, yeah. That's how I sometimes
Asian,
if I'm
right?
in LA, yeah, huh?
They were Asian.
Yeah, they're Asian.
Jupiter Disciples.
Their music was like uplifting, weird. Right?
They were like, no, but they were like science fiction. They were like weird. They were weird, dude.
They were like Neil deGrasse.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. They were tight though. But that's what I'm saying.
Jupiter
like,
Disciples, damn. Shout I haven't out. Heard that since like the 90s. For I sure. think my homie Mestizo had like one song on a mixtape.
Mestizo's your plug to hip-hop.
Yeah, that. Well, he
how
was.
How did you guys meet?
Arizona, dude. Oh, Arizona, okay. I was at, you know, like there was a coffee shop there. Then they had like, you know, a lot of these coffee shops have like bar, like a little mini, like a bar, a separate bar.
Right.
So this bar had like a rave. It wasn't even a hip hop night. Mm-hmm. It was they played Jungle.
Oh shit!
And so me and my homie Vex, Vex was the DJ. He's a Korean guy for my the crew that I formed here, Noble Hops. But me and Vex were drinking beers, just chilling, and then they put on Jungle, and then he wasn't performing, but he was rapping. He was rapping behind the turntable, crouched.
Yeah,
thought in my mind he was so good. Right. I thought that it
was
a record.
The record.
I thought he was on the record.
Dude, that's tight, actually.
Oh. So and then he was like 14 or 15. He was young.
That's a
he
great
was,
idea.
I'm telling you, he's like Eminem. He was Eminem good like wow. back then. He was like had that. Yeah. He had talent.
I mean, Mestizo, like any. It's so weird. Like while we're on tour, we meet so many different. You know, just walks.
No,
of
that's
life.
Like my brother.
Everyone
says
nothing.
Yeah.
But good things.
No,
he's a legend.
Straight
he's a
shooter, yeah.
Yeah, so, he showed me a lot of love too. Shout out to Mestizo.
Yeah, shout out to Mestizo. He's actually coming out here. I want to get a part two with him here.
Oh, for sure.
So anyway, so I'm like, me and my homie are like, and then we see some guy, some kids, you know, he had a rat tail, and then I'm, you know, and then he was skinny kid.
Yeah,
you know, I'm like, and then we're like, who the hell? And he, back then, his styles were, he rapped faster than he normally does, and his.
Faster now? Faster.
Back then, he was rapping faster, he had that kind of the Oakland kind of
double
twang.
Time.
Yeah, double time twang to it. So nice. I was like, okay, this kid's special. So afterwards, me and my homie Vex approached him. We're like, hey, that was tight. And then he started coming to my, I lived in the dorms.
Gotcha.
And my homie, he was a Native American cat named Strange. He rapped too. So me and him were the, it was kind of like,
nice.
Just me and Strange. And then I brought Mestizo into the mix and
what was your rap name back then?
They call me Short Round.
Short Round?
Yeah, but because of the Temple of Doom. But I refuted it. I'm like, that's a kid from
Mr. Jones.
You can't say it like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's the kid.
No. Okay, so before Mestizo, I was in an all black group called Rising Sun. Oh, it was four black dudes and me.
Wow.
Yeah. And they're like,
even that is.
And so I had to, like, you know, there's like a rite of passage. There's a lot, you know, there's like in the parking lot, like this dude, like, showed me how to fight. But those guys, they had my back. They would literally dive.
This was in San Diego or Arizona?
This is Arizona.
Arizona.
Rising Sun, bro.
So Rising Sun, we put out a little tape. And back then, a tape was a big deal.
Hell yeah!
Because
you pressed it, like you, you
yeah,
got
like
everything.
the two dudes.
Wow.
He went by P. Smurf and Rashid and some. He was Steven too. I forgot his MC name, but they invested the money. They went to a pressing plant, and they this is our album. Dude. I was on maybe two of the cuts because I wasn't fully in the group.
Got you. You still got a copy of it?
No. Oh, my homie Dustin, one of my homies in Arizona has it, though. I need that.
You know what's
crazy?
Because
that's like 90. Yeah.
Sometimes when I find my old shit, like, I don't like listening because, you know, it's development
it's
period.
It's cringy, right? For me, yeah.
But there are some gems. There are, like,
you know? Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes you're thinking, like, not how it sounds, but you're like, damn, I thought different, you know?
Yeah.
Or, like, I was hungry.
Yeah,
my rhyme schemes were, like, my definitely. Shit was weirder, you know? Like, I was a little more aggressive in my shit. Like, I see the complacency sometimes, you know?
I was so heavy into Beastie Boys and the Far Side that, like, I was so, like, I kind of bit them in a way.
And so
through time you mature
course,
and you're like,
course,
you know, I
course.
Just want to find my own voice. Although they are heavy influence, Beasties, Far Side, all that stuff, but... After, so you say Mestizo, then we clicked up, like, because I always stayed, I never moved out of the dorm room system.
Mm.
I'd stay in this dorm, I'd move into this dorm, this dorm, and dorm guy. That's I was a dorm guy, and, and so back then we had after Rising Sun, they pressed that up. We had whatever we did a few, on campus shows.
Nice.
But then my homie Derek Strange got a Fostex four track.
Oh, okay.
Like the old game over. Yeah. It was like, and then finally now we could record a beat and then do vocals on the
That was a game changer.
Yeah, it was a game changer. So and then I had and then this sampler.
Oh shit.
Like this, like you could put batteries in it. Like double A's. So another Asian cat, Japanese cat name, he went by DJ Yellow Jacket. Okay. He lived in the dorm next to mine and another cat. They're New York cats too.
Okay.
Heavy, heavy New York cats. They introduced me to Wu-Tang. And then he was like, well, I have this. Because I'm like, well, how do you make beats? Because I'd go to local shows. There was a local scene in Arizona, local, heavy.
Right.
And they were like my heroes. I was like, oh, damn, they're opening up for Diggable Planets and Beat Nuts. Oh, wow. What? You know, like, that's, like, you know, now, in hindsight, I'm like, oh, they're the local group.
Right, they knew the promoter.
Back in the day, when we see, like, the openers, the person doesn't know who's opening, you know what I mean?
No,
the
but to me, is... there's a crew called Supermarket, a couple other crews.
That's an ill name.
Yeah, Supermarket. I'd see their DJ who I knew produced, and I'd go, hey, how do you make your beats, dude? Because I didn't know the internet was around.
Of course, you can't.
So I'd see him at the low. Like, there's a thing called there's like a bong, like where you could get rolling papers.
Yeah.
So I'd hang out there. Yeah, but then you get the hip hop flyers there too. They'd have them out. So I'd go there and hang up with my dorm room. Sick. I'd see him, what's weird is it's like on some secret.
It's like a magician.
Yeah, it's like, no, still to this day, ask anybody,
what's your plug? You know what I mean?
How do you do that filter effect on the MPC, on the kick drum? You know, they're not going to tell you,
No.
So he was like, you should start with a sampler.
Right. Sampler. He's just giving you the abridged.
Yeah, so I just remember sampler, and then I put a stick over it, and I'm like, oh, it's a digital sampler here. So I was in my homie's dorm room, and I'm like, hey, that's a sampler.
Wait, hold on. He goes, so that whole DJ story was the intro to this?
To this.
Back to this.
Man. Back to this.
Oh, that's sick.
So he told me that, and I was just getting fail.
Yeah.
Like, telling me nothing. Learn the hard way, kid.
Right.
Figure it out. Take a class. Figure out.
Can you make beats on this now?
Yeah, it broke down.
Oh.
Yeah, it broke down.
We need a beat from you, bro.
Oh, dude, I got you guys. I love it. So anyway, so I'm like... I remember I was short, but he was like, just give me $120.
Yeah.
And so I brought it back to my dorm room.
This Jello Jack is a dick, dude.
So I just had it, and I turned it on, and I'm like, well, what do I do now?
Yeah.
What is, like, is it? You know what I'm saying?
It's like a TI-83.
But I remember it was like winter break, and I went back to Gilbert, for winter break, and I brought this.
Okay.
And then I was in the room at my house, and... I was in my, I closed the door. I like tiptoed up there. And then I just remember, oh, this is the RCA plug. So I went to Radio Shack. Radio Shack electronics place
Shout
back
Radio
then.
Shack.
Yeah. So I bought that at Radio Shack. And then I plugged it into a CD player, like a Walkman.
See, you knew what you were doing, dude.
No, but it just opens and you're like, okay, that
it's like the puzzle you put games it,
that's, you could input.
Right.
I think I understand that.
Yeah.
So I remember I didn't bring any of my stuff. I had a Beatles Sgt. Pepper CD.
Oh,
and so that was I was just fucking around with a Sgt. Pepper sample.
Wait, so you could do that? You could wait.
Yeah, well, yeah, because basically you input it and then you could just, now you could just go on YouTube and find jazz samples.
Oh, so you would do that and you'd record it?
No, yeah, like you'd have like two to three seconds and you could loop like a horn or like, and then I'm like, oh.
Wow.
So then, and then I discovered my homie Vex, thank God for Vex, because he was a DJ, so he had breakbeat. Vinyl.
There we go.
Where the breaks were.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, I could sample if I time it perfectly. You know, like pause tapes. Yeah, Q-Tip talks about
You're
it.
You're talking about like pause super tape. Ugly.
Yeah.
Like
so
duck shit.
Perfect loop. So I'm like, oh, I just sampled the tightest breakbeat I could find.
Perfect.
and that's all I need because it has perfect. The and then
and then you build up on it
and then the Come other on. Buttons I could lace with jazz samples. So I'm like, you know what I mean? So I was like, that's what I'm gonna
there,
do.
There yeah. it goes.
And so I slowly and then that whole world opens up to like. You know, dudes traveling to Brazil to find like a record that there's only one in it. I would never do that.
Yeah,
but
then, yo, that's digging.
Yeah, speaking digging. About what you're saying, it's like all about work ethic now, bro. Like I tell all my like young producer cats this.
Yeah.
If they have a Wi-Fi and MPC, they have every sample recorded to man, dude.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? So it's not even about like skill level; it's willpower, bro. You know, and this sounds like aged as fuck, and I sound like a hip hop tumtun right now, but.
Samchun is uncle, right?
Samchun is uncle, yeah. It's like, you know, like the Primo days and shit like that. You know, when they had to literally cut the tape.
Well, the SP-1200 days, dude. Yeah.
And then they would have to take the train. They had to physically go to different spots to put on a, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And I know, I'm not saying I'm from the era, but you still have to appreciate and kind of give props to that, you know?
Kids are kind of spoiled now, dude.
You know? Like, I mean, but I'm from the crux. Like, we're right there, you know? So, but definitely, that's why I say Samchun. I don't say full grown. I'm the unk right now, you know? Yeah.
That's
but
why I don't sleep on a lot of kids, because if they have the, like drive to do it, they can look up anything and learn the history, especially about hip hop,
and
like,
learn it.
Yeah.
Oh, on YouTube and stuff.
Yeah,
like
any
that.
Anything they want to look up now, and you know, they can just look it up.
Yeah, man. Everyone like graphic designers, movie editors. I see them. They just you know, they're watching some 15-year-old German kid online.
And the thing is, you don't even need a lot of money to have your studio.
Not at all, bro.
You could just have a laptop.
Everybody.
Look at this.
Studio.
This is it right here.
This is all I have. I use a sampler, and just a laptop, and that's all I got.
Steve, I have to ask you a very important question.
Yeah.
So, you've been living here in LA for a while.
Yeah.
What's your favorite Korean restaurant here in K Town?
Oh shit!
I mean, the thing is, I want to know your sizes.
I'm glad you asked.
It's personal opinion.
Because
I'm a
personal opinion.
Bro.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a
Sukbuljip. I used to go to.
We live right next to them.
I like Sukbul because they use the charcoal, and I like the smoked. Yeah.
You like it. Yeah. Doesn't your eye sting a little bit?
A little bit, but then
you like that.
But then the ajumma used to just decide for you what we wanted.
Oh yeah.
To make more money.
Oh yeah.
You know, exactly. I didn't ask for that bulgogi. She's like, yeah.
It's like a Korean barbershop.
No, but Karbi definitely tastes the best with Sukbul.
Yeah,
I still haven't gone. Sukbuljip
and then Arirang.
Arirang?
Is it Arirang?
I've never even heard of that. Arirang. That's a song.
But then Monsu, it's all you can eat, but I like Monsu. Monsu,
oh,
all
yeah,
you
yeah.
can eat.
We just went there. Monsu. We just went there with Bag.
Oh, is that the one with like their own?
They have the kimchi bar.
The kimchi bar is the game changer.
Because
they have the yolmu, dude.
Yeah, is that the green?
The pipe, yeah.
But they have the cream kimchi.
Yes.
That's not right. Yes.
That's what I'm talking about. That's the yolmu. That's the one that comes with the radish.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I go there for that. Yeah.
Oh, so you know, does he like cream?
Yeah, I told him about that.
Oh, yeah, bro.
Yeah.
We actually were just there last week with the...
Yeah. Oh, Chosan? But that's expensive.
I've never been. Oh, Chosan?
Chosan is expensive.
See, you're just naming all the barbecue spots.
Yeah.
Like
you know the... You gotta
I'm talking
me.
About...
You
do you like the tongs? Do you like the soup, stews?
I like that. I like it all.
Yeah, I gotta
I
take
like
you out.
Yeah,
I gotta take you out.
We got some spots, for sure.
I love it, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I just saw the Kathy, the kimchi.
Yeah.
So she named a pretty few.
We've only been here a year now, though.
Oh, really?
We got here last February.
Let's get back to... Okay, so how you got... Like, how many albums you drop and, like, the show? I wanna start talking about, like... Yeah. So what's up?
We have an EP out that we released a few years ago.
How did they get it? Yeah.
It's actually three, four years ago.
Yeah. It's at officialyaks.com. You can go there, stream it anywhere on, you know, Spotify, Tidal, Apple, all that. And just follow us on YouTube, Official Yaks. Oh, no. Year of the Ox.
Right? Year of the Ox.
Yeah, youtube.com/Year of the Ox, YEAROFTE. THEOX.
How'd you all come up with that name? That name's ill.
Oh, thank you. Our boy Rex Dizzy came up with it.
Shout out to Rex.
Frog. Yeah, heck yeah. We had like a little popcorn discussion type of thing.
It took
online.
Us a while to come up
he's
with a name.
He's a smart kid. He's a smart kid.
Oh, yeah, he's good. He wanted it to be Ear of the Oxtail.
Okay. I just know we're throwing out just words,
but
and I said
Ear of the
Oxtail.
Ox. You know what? Yeah. That's a classic sounding name.
Thank you, bro.
Ear of the Ox.
It's not too Asian.
No, it's not, and it has a classic element to it. You know?
We were gonna, and then for shorts, it's Yaks. You know, Y O X. We were gonna do Yodo.
We're both Ear of the Ox.
Yeah. So what's your process like? constructing a song and an album and all that? Like,
so right now, we're trying something different.
Yeah.
So we're trying to, you know, get our numbers up, spread our name out, and we're just flooding the internet with content right now.
I love that.
So we're calling it a rollout. Yeah. We started it about 21 weeks ago now. This Friday will be, you know, whenever this comes out, it'll be like 22nd. So every week we just drop a new song. Yeah,
we dropped 20 videos in the last 20 weeks.
How do you guys, because we're trying to just do one. how do you get the
well, I mean, this is like the latter part of, we've been here for a year, you know? First couple of months we've been just like recording, stacking stuff up.
Dope.
And even back in Virginia, when we were away from each other, we recorded separately as well, you know? So we have a lot of stuff stored up. It's like sifting process, like what aged well, what still works.
Demographics.
Yeah, demographics, you know, Google Analytics,
branding,
you know.
All that stuff.
Branding, exactly. I hate those words, but we got to do it.
But now it's just because it's a rollout and not an album, like we have the freedom of just doing different flavors, whatever.
What are the
differences
between a rollout? Just clarify that.
I mean, a rollout, we just...
What is a rollout?
I named it.
Oh, that's your term?
Yeah, it's my
term.
Just,
I just said, did I say they said it rollout?
No, you said rollout.
They called it a rollout. So rollout to me is just like every week.
Shocking out. Like how I do this podcast. 100%, 100%. Every week. Exactly. Every week.
Because consistency. You see what I'm saying? That's what it is. And so because we don't have an album, it's not like under an umbrella. Like we have to make it this genre. We have to do it this kind of style.
Yeah.
We love boom bap. We love, you know, the golden age sounds. Crunchy snare. That will always be there. That's every day
beat,
for us.
Let me make, I got a beat for you.
Please. We need a raw. We haven't had a raw beat.
Yeah, no, mine's going to be, you guys, it's going to be like.
Could we get a Ravers maybe? Or, you know?
I'm down. I got you guys. I'll spend all night working on it for sure.
Yeah, man. So if you guys want to check it out, just hear the YouTube.
Are you guys with 88? Do you have affiliation with 88 Rising as
We're huge fans of 88. You know, we have like third degree separation relationships, you know, because Dumb.
Yeah,
you know,
Dumb.
You know, I was actually with Rich Brian the other night. Super nice dude.
I'm a big fan.
He's a good kid.
He's super nice.
You think he'll do this?
Heck yeah, man. For sure.
We need,
I mean, you know, his price
big,
is
he's large. He's large. I got to pay him again.
No. I mean, that's a Korean term. Like, you know, he's pizza a little bit. He's a little pizza. Nah, but he's super like down to earth. Yeah, man. He's genuinely kind. You know those people you meet online, and you're like, oh, they're probably
that
like
that one video he blew up. What was that one?
Oh yeah, yeah.
He had the fanny pack.
Yeah, but you know, low key, it was also his big fat guy in the back.
Yeah,
you know,
that one friend, his squad, the whole element was crazy.
We have big love for 88 because they helped. They helped a lot with the Asian American movement.
Shout out to Sean and all that.
They got their own festival. Too.
Oh, dude, we went to their festival.
How was that?
It's crazy, man. It was nuts.
Head in the clouds.
It was it looked like a Coachella, but you know,
mini Coachella.
Like a mini Coachella. That's a good festival.
How much were tickets? Like kids, like lined up.
Lined up. They had a bottle of Blue. They had a bottle of
young kids loved it.
They had a bottle of Johnny Walker Blue in every trailer with the artist name etched on it. You know what I mean?
Damn, that's good time.
They got AKG. They know what they're doing.
Sponsorships.
100%. They know what they're doing.
So, is it an agency? Is it a collective? What is that?
Honestly, I couldn't tell you.
Is it a record label? What is it?
I couldn't tell you. All I know is they're rising.
They're doing something. Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so I want to get back to the mentality of just releasing music, because back then we released EPs, albums.
Right.
Yeah. But your approach is more—it's smart, I think.
We're not gonna leave that traditional approach. What I'm saying is, our name right now—it's not big enough to reverberate.
It's a numbers
right now,
game,
you know?
And especially if we're gonna pitch Year of the Ox. Like, they're going to look at our Instagram numbers. They want all this YouTube subscriptions. They want all those numbers up.
So we figure
consistency is going to be a way to get it.
How are y'all doing so many music videos?
It's all in-house.
Well, he's doing the editing.
You do editing
and
filming?
Well, my friend Stan. I do the editing. I have a fake pseudonym named Stan Dillinger.
That's my thing.
Yeah.
Do you teach yourself?
You know, YouTube.
So wait, but who's filming all of it?
A couple of DPs.
Yeah, we just have DPs. It's whoever's around, you know. So I tell them, we do the choreographed dance, you know. I'll be like, we're coming out here. I like to do like one take Scorsese type shots. You know?
So a lot of the songs on the rollout are, we call them ciphers, but it's basically us. It's not really like us doing a hook and a bridge and everything.
Yeah.
It's more of us just barring out.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
giving
yeah,
them
yeah,
just
yeah.
16s and just verses. So.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're going to eventually put that together on a mixtape.
Oh, let me tell you. You know what we got to do, Hyun? This is what we got to do. We got to take your beat. We'll make a cypher. So what what we do is we film our cyphers at various Korean restaurants. And we ask them. And so we're like, yo, you're going to get promotion. And then they just hook us up fat. You know what I mean?
Oh, they'll
hook it up. Yeah.
My homework is horrible, dude.
Your what?
My Korean's
horrible. Oh, no, don't worry. You'll be there. Yeah. Just
because they can barely understand me. They know that. Yeah.
And then we'll do a nice little video. Yeah. That'd be cool. Yeah.
Dude, I'm down. Sure. I got you guys.
For sure. Let's do it.
I'd be honored.
Yeah.
I have a quick question.
Yeah.
Because I'm a huge Tiger Belly fan. You know what I mean? And I've heard Bobby's not really a huge hip hop guy.
No, we used to get in fights.
I was wondering why.
Over
De
La Soul. I remember we got in a fight over De La Soul.
You guys got in a fight?
Yeah, because back then, because I went to a concert when I was a kid, and it was De La Soul, but it was like Sugar Cubes, you know what I mean? Bjork was there. Okay. It was all over the map.
Yeah.
And then I had the same CD, 3 Feet High and Rising.
All right.
Shout out to Prince Paul, by the way.
Bro.
He goes, dude, that's not music, bro. And I go, what do you mean it's not? This is what I like. He goes, dude, it's not music.
Wow.
But he came around now. Yeah.
Later.
What did he listen to back then?
Dude, obscure indie rock.
Oh, okay.
Like San Diego bands you've never heard of.
I can still picture him like, it's not music.
No, because I got a lot of my musical influence and the stuff that my brother, he's 2 years older, he was listening to it. I was going to, that shit's cool. I'm going to listen to
Black
it too.
Flag or...
Well, anything.
The Cure, Bob Marley, all that.
Gotcha.
Me too. I'd go into his record collection what the fuck is this?
But then hip-hop...
I'm going to listen to it.
Hip-hop, you were just like, yo, I'm going to just go this
way. It's a niche thing, dude. And the thing is, if you don't understand, if you don't understand the craft of it...
Right.
Because they think it's like, oh, you're just taking from this. But it's like, no, it's an art within an art.
It's
hard to convince your older brother,
100%.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? No, he was not. But now he likes the Beastie Boys.
All right, cool.
He don't know who Big L is. Right. You know what I mean? If you said,
who do you like now?
You know what? I wanted to talk to you. We're going to get different parts. Okay. We're on our last hit. But I don't know as far as mod, what kids are listening to. Mm-hmm. I just gave Trippie Redd a listen. I'm he's cool.
Yeah.
Can you rap like me, that song? Mm-hmm. I like that song. For sure. I'm okay, that's cool. But as far as the overall genre, I don't understand it.
Right.
I like Post Malone.
Post Malone, come on.
Good music.
I like
great
Post
music.
Malone because it reminds me of I don't even look at it like hip hop. It's catchy.
His harmonics is dope. Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Sonically, they know how to make a good song. Yeah. They know how to put
that Sunflower
together.
That's a damn good
song. Oh, I love that song. Are you serious? Yeah. Every time that comes on, I get happy.
Yeah,
for sure.
So, yeah, Post Malone, Trippie Redd, I'll give him a listen. But
so, when it comes to rap,
I don't know. I don't know any of Tekashi shit. Yeah. What are your thoughts on him?
He's a snitch. So.
he starts looking down, fidgeting his pants.
No. You know what? The Instagram got a little boring after he got locked up. You know, there was a moment where he was just so polarizing.
It was fun to watch.
Know?
It was fun to watch.
Yeah,
he was just, he knew how to troll. He was just, the way that he moved, it was so triggering to so many people.
Yeah,
that
and the gang affiliation.
Oh
stuff,
yeah, so
what?
There's definitely I was thinking there's some type of obviously stupidity to it, but then a boldness as well. Just damn, you're really putting yourself out there right now.
Well,
you know,
he ratted the other dude.
Exactly.
So what do you guys give me some recommendations? What's good?
Go ahead, bro.
I mean, I feel like lately more lyrical hip hop is coming back, and just with people, just the big names like Kendrick and Cole.
I like Kendrick. That's another one.
You know,
I like
that,
Kendrick. Yeah.
There's still lyricism. You know, mm-hmm, people mm-hmm. pushing it and
like Gibbs. You like Freddie Gibbs at all?
No, I gotta.
Have you heard the new
Eminem? I gotta
write
this stuff down.
It just came out a couple weeks ago.
I always liked him though.
Yeah.
Of his lyrics. I was curious.
You know who you like, Young? You like these new guys from Griselda. Conway, West Side Gun.
New York street dudes.
Straight. It's
Is it like Fuji Rap?
Dude, yeah.
Street. We're talking.
Yeah, it's fucking grimy.
I'm a fan of New York.
For sure, dude.
Yeah, I love. That's birthplace.
You want to get in fist fight in a subway.
So it's
In Tim's.
Do push-ups.
100%. Dead ass, dude.
Cocaine and guns. We're talking,
I'm stuck in a time capsule.
No, me too.
Yeah, I'm open-minded, but what I like is what I like.
Yeah.
For sure. And for us, I mean, for me, it's I go on YouTube every day to kind of see what's trending and the new new music videos that just came out, just to have it and know what.
That's vital, isn't it? Especially today's
market. I mean, that's the beauty of a duo, is because he does that. You know what I mean? Like, I'll listen to it.
Keep up.
Like, no, but I'm because yeah, keep up. Like,
I'm over here. You do it.
It's kind of true. Like, it's very, very accurate.
Very, like, the contrast is like, he definitely understands more about.
That's smart, though, dude.
Yeah,
that's smart.
You got to, I mean, the R&D right here, you know? The R&D.
Like, you know.
And I make sure it's still dusty a little bit, you know what I mean? I make sure.
But that's what makes it work.
100%. Yeah, 100%. That's the duo, man.
Yeah, man. Well, we got to get a part two. This flew by, dude.
No, we're already done. Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah. I want to plug. Let's plug it again.
Let's do it, man.
Just Instagram.
Yeah.
Our
official website is Official Yox.
Y-O-X. Just if you Google Year of the Ox, like all of our stuff will come out.
What about the shows? You guys got upcoming shows?
Once we get our rollout, so we're going to compile all our rollouts together and create two albums. Okay. One's going to be of the Cypher and one's going to be of like the other. So, you know, we're just trying something to promote like that, then we're going to go on the road.
Hey, I'm going to ask you guys right here on this platform, let Lil Ray open for you.
Bro, in the any West Side, come on.
I
want to
do some shows with you guys.
Are you serious? Yeah.
That'll be fire.
Lil Ray, you know what I mean? He'll show up. Trust me.
With the popsicle sticks and all that. If you don't come up with the popsicle sticks,
I'll give him a message.
You talk to him, man. You talk to him. You let him know. I need to talk to Lil Ray, bro. You know, we have some unfinished business.
Well, let's definitely do a track.
Because the thing is, like, I was in a band, and that was just. It just because we had so much behind it, like doing because I still like doing music, but it's like I have to kind of motivate myself, like, fuck, I gotta do shows.
right,
I haven't done a show in a while,
But you have a cult following, man.
It's cult. I don't have a big following, but like the cats that will show up, they'll buy a CD,
for sure.
You know what I'm saying? Sure. So I'm not trying to look, I'm not trying to get
right.
Music, you kind of have to give out for free,
trust
me. That's the thing. But if we do shows, at least we could sell a t-shirt or something.
That's what the rollout's about, too. You know what I mean?
Exactly,
man. Support Lil Ray.
Support Lil Ray. Lil Ray opening up for Year of the Ox. And maybe we could do it in maybe a like
an EP or what? In K-Town?
Yeah,
maybe at a Scala. We could do it at OG Chino's
spot, bro.
Oh, should I holler at him?
We should do that.
Well, we're already talking about doing stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
As a show over there.
He'd be down, dude.
He'd be so down, man. You serious?
Shout out to OG Chino, man.
It'll be Psycho Les from Beat Nuts on the DJ.
I'm a fan, dude. Beat Nuts?
Beat Nuts?
I'm the biggest fan of theirs.
Hell yeah.
Intoxicated Demons,
come on, dude. Juju's the homie. Like, Have you been to Fat Buddha?
You know Juju?
Yeah, yeah. So when I lived in New York, we used to go to Fat Buddha all the time. Damn. You know Cliff out there?
No, man, I don't know any of these.
When you're in New York, you gotta go to Fat Buddha.
You gotta go to Fat Buddha.
And thanks for hooking that show from Monchi, though.
Of course. And then you go out there. Juju's there all the time. He's just so down to earth, man.
They still making music?
These guys go
and
to
they're
Europe
looping
and
their
they just
shit now.
Kill it, man! They,
well, they don't even have to rap because they go up there and the whole crowd knows their whole.
They know the whole
verse.
They just need to go there.
It's legends.
Done. No, like, what else you need to do?
There's people like pop star sampling that.
Yo, exactly.
And I'm like, we're listening to that in the car. Me and my girl.
Nah,
and
shout out.
And she goes, "Have you heard this?" I go, "Dude, that's from the Beat Nuts."
Well, they're sampling late.
And she goes, "Where are the Beat Nuts?" And so I had to go on Spotify and be like, "This is where it's at. This is the Beat Nuts."
Come on, and Beat Nuts, like, everyone loves the Beat Nuts. Once you play it,
dude,
like,
okay, going back to EP, I didn't even know what an EP was.
Wow.
But guess how I found that out?
Because of Beat Nuts?
Because of the Beat Nuts. Because I got the tape
super short.
This is all I'm listening to this whole year.
Right.
And it said EP. And I go, what is an EP?
Damn.
And I noticed, there's only like six songs on here.
Yeah,
and I
go, short and sweet.
Oh, that's what an EP is.
Come on.
Beat Nuts, shout out to the Beat Nuts.
Lil Ray Yox, definitely a possibility.
Damn.
Yo, it was an honor, man.
Dude.
Yeah, so on Instagram, you go to Official Yox, and then we have our individual, too. I go by YOX_Rick.
Mm-hmm. Underscore JL.
YOX_JL. Mm-hmm. And then our website, again, officialyox.com.
Yeah.
And
you guys got merch?
Oh, we have masks and shirts that we're going to re-up.
How do they get that if they want it?
GearOfTheOx.com.
Gear of the Ox.
Hey, so go on the website and buy the merch.
GearOfTheOx.com to get the merch.
Yeah.
Shout out, man. Ox Gang, thank you for watching.
Yeah, that's what's up.
Thank you, man. It's been an honor.
And also, where do they listen to that song from Outsider? Which episode was it?
Episode 5. Minute 14:37.
Strip club scene, obviously.
Yeah. For sure. Dude, shout out HBO.
I love what you guys are doing, man. I love what you guys are doing. I support it. And definitely check out their music. Anything they put out, buy it.
Woo!
You know what I mean?
Shout out Stevie Weeby.
Yeah, you guys are... Oh, you know who else? We need Dennis and Kane. I need Dennis and Kane. Yeah. I need Dennis in on here.
Let's get it.
So shout out to...
We need to get Rec. You need to meet Rec, bro. You and Rec would be... Right?
Oh, yeah, Rec Stizzy. Who's
Rec? Sure. Rec Stizzy is the guy...
I know. He's been on here.
He has been on here. That's the homie.
He gave me the whole Red Dead Redemption. He gave me the whole tutorial.
He did a whole tutorial.
He was here for like 3 hours.
We mentioned him earlier. Like, I was like, what are you talking about?
He taught me how to play Red Dead Redemption.
You're right.
What are you talking about?
That whole podcast?
That's like my little brother. I know Rex.
Yeah.
That's like my brother. I love Rex Stizzy and Doug.
Rex the man.
Yeah. Oh, shout out to Year of the Ox. Support that. No Little Ray's World this week. He's gonna come back shortly. We're still mixing down the new EP. If you want to support the channel, the show, go to patreon.com/StevieWeeby. The newest patron is Joshua Titus. Again, thanks to our sponsor. Shout out to our sponsor, Postmates. Instagram/QUANGOU. The website, StevieWeebyShow.com. The new EP's done. We're going to do music videos, right, Craig? We're going to work on that. I'm going to put on my Bandcamp and slowly put it on Spotify and all the platforms. Go to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/StevieWeeby, for more content, vlogs, puzzle videos, clips, cooking videos, Stevie on the Streety, P.O. Box videos. You got to do so much now because these kids, their attention span is shot. So we have to think of 100 more ideas. send your puzzles or packages to 1425 North Cherokee Avenue, P.O. Box 1391, L.A., California, 90093. And if you want to send shirts or postcards, send it there. Do you guys have a podcast?
No.
You should think about doing it.
Yeah.
We might get
support Mind Raid. That's the Koch brothers. Eric Koch and his brother Keone. Keone's podcast, Mind Raid, Losco Projects, Necro Electric, and Movies with Malice, Riffin' with Griffin, and Tiger Belly.
Wow.
With that being said, we're out.